Let's do it.
Great. Thank you, sir. Good morning. I'd like to call to order today's meeting of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means Subcommittee on Education for Wednesday, June 21st, 2017. Happy solstice, everyone. Thank you all for being here. We have a number of items today. We are going to go, I believe, from top to bottom. So we are going to start by opening a work session on House Bill 2720.
Madam Co-Chair, Co-chairs and members of the committee, Meg Bushman-Reinhold with Legislative Fiscal. HB 2720 requires the Department of Ed to conduct a study of virtual public charter schools operating in the state. The bill provides specific criteria for the study and directs the department to report to the legislature with their findings by September 15, 2018. We have an A6 amendment that provides $80,000 of general fund appropriation to cover the cost so that the department can hire a contractor to assist with the study. LFO recommends adoption of the A6 amendment.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Ready to move the amendment?
You're ready for
Sir?
A motion?
I'm ready for the amendment motion,
Madam
yes.
Co-Chair, I move adoption of the A6 amendment to House Bill 2720.
Senator Monroe has moved adoption of the A6 amendment to House Bill 2720. Discussion. Senator
Thank
Thompson.
You. Madam Co-Chair, what I think it was originally put in for $100,000, and
Correct.
So they cut it to $80,000. What did they cut? What are they going to do for $20,000 less?
Sure.
How will they do the study, or what are they leaving out? And
Meg, is that a question for you, or should we call up Odie?
Okay, great. I can help you, co-chairs, members of the committee. So the $100,000 general fund was put in by the author of the bill just to ensure there was an appropriation in the bill.
Okay.
So once we looked at the contractors and what would be a reasonable cost based on prior experience, $80,000 was the best number.
Further discussion on the amendment specifically. Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
I'm still not sure exactly what the, is that for a hourly, or is this ODE, is that FTE, half an FTE? Could you tell us?
Yeah, co-chairs, members of the committee, there is some expertise and some information already collected by the Department of Education, but additional information is needed, so they're going to actually issue an RFP for a contract and hire someone to do that additional stuff and prepare the study, and then Department of Ed will use existing staff to assist and access the information that they have to collaborate and then make the report to the legislature.
Does that answer your question, Representative?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just on the amendment, yes, ma'am.
Okay. Further discussion on the amendment. Is there objection to the amendment? Seeing none, so moved.
Go ahead. Legislative Fiscal recommends that HB 2720, as amended by the A6 amendment, be moved to the Ways and Means Full Committee.
Madam Co-Chair, I move House Bill 2720, as amended by the A6 amendment, to the full Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Monroe has moved House Bill 2720 as amended to the full Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Representative Parrish, please.
Thank you, certainly.
No problem.
So I'm going to be no on this today. I've got concerns that there's not consensus about the study from the people who are going to have to be subject to the study. I also have some concerns about the cost, given the state of the K-12 budget right now, that this is probably one of the least on the to-do list of things that I think we need to do to be furthering education in the state. I will say that I think it's very important that we get to the piece that I don't think is going to come out in this, which is what happens when kids move between schools, and it doesn't matter if they're moving between charter schools and traditional brick and mortar schools. I've said it before, when my son moved out of arguably one of the best middle schools in the state, got to a charter school, he was 2 years behind in his math. And is that the charter school's fault? When the charter does the assessment, they're going to end up taking the responsibility for that test score. I would argue it would have come from his home school where he'd originally started. And until we solve that problem between all schools, I don't think that just targeting one type of school system within our public schools is the way to go, and especially not in a time when we don't have money to spend on things that maybe aren't going to get us the best information outcomes that we need. And I think that there's a bigger, broader conversation that needs to happen. That's the task force I'd like to see us fund, and that didn't come up this year, so I'm just going to be a no today.
Okay, thank you. Senator Roblin.
I'll be a yes today. I have some of the same concerns that were just enunciated by Representative Parrish. I've talked to Representative McLean. I think she worked really hard at trying to get consensus with a lot of groups to find information that would be helpful for us. I think some of this will be helpful. I think others of it is probably not necessary. I do agree, and we look at when we're in regular schools, our kids that have stayed in our school always do better at graduation than kids that move around. So the question that we're talking about is how do we help kids and families stay in one place, because they do better when they stay in one place than if they move. And there are other kinds of issues that maybe the information from the study can help us ask better questions and maybe get to the kind of task force that will be more informative and help us with regard to this. I know that there's a lot of people that are uptight about virtual charter schools. I would love to get information out of here that shows how do we find the most successful kids and how do we encourage those kids to take advantage of the things that work better for them, and if this kind of helps in some of that identification and understanding of which families and kids do better. I think we need to figure out how to use all public school assets, and that's charter schools, brick and mortar or virtual, and in helping every one of our kids get to the place where they can have their potential reach the most. $80,000 seems underfunding to me. I we'll see how that works out. We'll just have to wait and see. But with regards to all of that, right now I will be a yes, and I anticipate being a yes in ways, ma'am. But it is one of those things. It's a little bit of money, but right now we're worried about every penny. So, yeah.
Thank you. Further comments, Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Madam Co-Chair, I'll be a no. To me, physical conservative Department of Education should be doing this, should be able to provide the legislature this information.
Okay. Senator Thompson.
I just want to say I'm going to be a no, too. Okay. I think the way we're ending up the session, this is $80,000. Maybe I'd rather give it to the farm-to-school program, or, we're getting down to that point where everybody can use a little bit of money, and I think we could probably, these things have been studied before, and I'm not a big fan of task forces and studies. I'd rather put some money where it's much needed elsewhere. So,
okay, thank you. I thought you meant your farm at first, and you said, I'd rather give that money to the farm.
It's really hard to pick those pears and run them over the store. You got to clean them first of all.
Okay, further discussion? Okay, with that, Michael, can you please call the roll?
Senator Thompson.
No.
Senator Roble.
Yes.
Co-Chair Monroe.
Aye.
Representative Wisnett.
No.
Representative Harris.
Yeah.
Representative Lightwood.
Yes.
Representative Hernandez.
Aye.
Co-Chair Smith-Warren.
Aye. That motion passes. And
carriers.
Okay, we need carriers to the full committee, which is, I think,
Senator Roblin.
I will do it if you prefer.
Okay.
I would actually like to do it. Yes.
Okay.
Me to the full committee, Representative McLean to the House floor.
Yeah.
And to
Senator
the
Senator Roblin to the Senate.
I can through it. I'm not most excited about this bill.
Okay.
So
I'll start with you.
Carry it. Thank you for volunteering.
I'll start with Senator Roblin, and
okay.
Perhaps
we'll
I'll come back. Okay. With that, I'm going to close the work session on 2720.
Read the script.
That's on a different one. Yeah, 314. Okay. Colleagues, due to the need to confirm some staffing issues with HEC, we are going to carry over the work session on House Bill 2998 till tomorrow. So if you can move that on your calendars. So I'm going to move now to the next item on the agenda, which is Senate Bill 314, and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 314.
Madam Chair, Senate Bill 314 directs the Oregon Department of Education Early Learning Division to support relief nursery programs and provide specific examples for qualifying costs for which funding may support. The bill defines a relief nursery program and requires programs to report child participation and progress to a database created and maintained by the Oregon Association of Relief Nurseries. The bill excludes state asset forfeiture proceeds from the calculation of minimum community matching funds required for relief nursery programs. And we do have an A4 amendment, which is online for the committee to consider.
Okay, we have one person testify that I will, or signed up to testify, Sam Barber with the Oregon Association of Relief Nurseries. Sam, if you want to come forward, please. It's the dash A4 we are considering.
Good morning, co-chairs, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Sam Barber with the Oregon Association of Relief Nurseries. Started 40 years ago in Eugene. Relief nurseries provide comprehensive trauma-informed services to families and children at high risk of abuse and neglect. We have 31 nurseries statewide at this point. Senate Bill 314 really clarifies three issues. It recognizes the relief nursery model in statute. It exempts those asset forfeiture funds from the 25% cash match. And it clarifies how state funds may be used. Since passing out of the Senate Human Services Committee, a wrinkle arose with one of the provisions of the bill. Representative Lively was kind enough to pull together a work group to iron out those wrinkles. The fix comes to, in the form of the dash A4 amendment to you today. The ELD, DOJ, and relief nurseries are all supportive of the amendment. I believe the bill has a minimal fiscal impact on the state. I don't think it'll cost the ELD to implement at all. I think that's it. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Colleagues, any questions? Senator Roblin.
So as relief nursery people know, I've had some concerns. I have a relief nursery in that's trying to get started in Toledo, and they've had some concerns, and I am concerned about the ability of small rural communities to meet the requirements that the relief nursery program, since it's an outside group, to meet. And so I keep thinking if we should be starting to have conversations about how do we make sure that we get these kinds of facilities in rural areas, maybe not through relief nursery, call it a different name, because relief nursery has a patent on the name. And so this makes me nervous, just because I want to make sure that all communities have the ability to have access to this. And some of the requirements make that difficult. So I will be here for this bill, but I'm concerned about opportunities for some of our smaller communities to have places to make kids safe and work this out. So I'll continue to talk with relief nurseries about that. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Mr. Barber, you said 31 relief nurseries. How many satellites? Is that including satellites?
That is including satellites.
Okay. Comment, Madam?
Please.
I think that's the way to go is more satellites. But you got to remember, I think we all support this program and the concept. Trying to get more is an issue because they do have to provide their own funding. I was with the County Commission on Children and Families when we started the relief nurseries, and, you know, it's hard to think. They have to get, you know, we've been successful. They've got a very successful fundraising program in Bend, and they're working on satellites. But that's the problem, is you got to be produce part of your own revenue. So, but the satellite, I think, is a way to go, so we wouldn't have to meet all the requirements. So.
I tend to agree that can be an option for it. The only concern that I have is they have some requirements that require their teachers to do the on-site visits and so on and so forth. And there are places that have psychologists and other people involved in another group that could do the on-site, but they don't allow that. So they, because of the restrictions and the kinds of things that are happening, it's sometimes difficult if you have a bigger organization that wants to take this in as part of it to use people in effective ways, and I've got to figure that one out. Then there may be other ways to reorganize and have other kinds of programs to do the same thing. So
I will continue to look at that.
Okay. Any other questions for this witness? I guess he's not really a witness. Testifier, sorry.
Motion.
Senator, I just wanted to thank you so much. I also just want to confirm, is there anyone else here who wants to testify on this bill? Okay. In that case, I'm going to go ahead and close the public hearing and open a work session on Senate Bill 314.
Madam Co-Chair, I move adoption of the A4 amendment to Senate Bill 314.
Okay. Senator Monroe has moved adoption of the A4 amendment to Senate Bill 314. Discussion. Any objection to the amendment? Okay, so moved.
And Madam Co-Chair, I move Senate Bill 314 as amended by the A4 amendment to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Monroe has moved Senate Bill 314 as amended by the A4 amendment to the full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Representative Lively.
And obviously I'm very supportive of this, but I heard what Senator Roblin had to say, and I can assure you our committee will continue to talk about there needs to be other options and how rural communities are served. So I appreciate your concerns, and we'll
keep
working.
Thank you very much.
Further discussion? Okay. With that, so moved. Oh, sorry. Hang on. Well, and I also didn't check on objections. Well, any objections?
I would never do it now.
Okay. So moved. Carriers, how about Representative Wisnett to the full committee? Representative Lively, would you like to take it to the floor? House floor and the Senate floor. Do you have a proposal on who might be best on the Senate floor on that bill? There's a bunch of sponsors.
Senator Winters introduced.
Senator Winters.
Senator Winters.
Okay.
Is the principal
How about
sponsor.
Senator Winters then?
She's
okay.
And to the Senate, she can do too.
Great. With that, I will close the work session on Senate Bill 314. And moving right along, colleagues, I will open a public hearing on House Bill 2038.
Okay. Madam Co-Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2038 appropriates $5,607,729 in general fund for the 1719 biennium to the Department of Education for the Farm to School grant programs. The money within that funding is allocated for various grant programs as well as
trimmed a little bit, but they're basically funded.
Staffing costs for the Department of Education. And the bill does have two amendments that are posted online for the committee to consider, an A10 and A11.
Pulling that up myself, colleagues. Okay, I want to check first and see if there are any members who are here to testify on this. I don't see any, but I see there's a lot of co-sponsors. So in that case, I am going to call up, I guess there's really just two microphones up there. Well, I'll call up the first three testifiers, Megan Kemple, Clayne Clock, and Krina Lee.
Okay. Co-Chairs Monroe and Smith Warner and members of the committee, my name is Megan Kemple. I'm the director of the Oregon Farm to School and School Garden Network, a statewide organization with over 900 stakeholders. We strongly support House Bill 2038, the Farm to School Bill, and we support the Dash 11 amendments. We request that you do all you can to advance House Bill 2038 and maintain funding for the Farm to School grant program. If the state can make a relatively small investment, schools can purchase foods from Oregon vendors, keeping the entire amount of their purchases, a portion of which are paid with federal funds, circulating within the Oregon economy rather than going out of state. So this program is a great way to leverage federal dollars and keep those federal dollars circulating in Oregon's economy. With the state investment of $1.6 million in farm-to-school funding during the 15-16 school year, schools boosted the agricultural economy by purchasing $15 million in Oregon products that same year. Farm to school is a win-win-win. Farmers win, Farm-to-school can serve a significant financial opportunity for the farmers, fishers, ranchers, food processors, and food manufacturers by opening doors to an institutional market worth millions of dollars in Oregon. Kids win. Farm-to-school provides all kids access to nutritious, high-quality local food so they're ready to learn and grow. Farm-to-school activities enhance classroom education through hands-on learning related to food, health, agriculture, and nutrition, and communities win. Farm to school benefits everyone from students, teachers, and administrators to parents and farmers, providing opportunities to build family and community engagement, and buying from local producers and processors creates new jobs and strengthens Oregon's economy. Please do all you can to secure funding for this important program. I don't think that all of the written testimony is submitted yet, but we have at least 15 exhibits from supporters all around the state, including community partners, producers, educators, and school districts. And I'm here and available to answer questions about the bill, the program, or the amendments, and Oregon Department of Ed staff are also in the room. Thank you very much.
Go ahead, sir.
Co-Chair Monroe and Smith Warner and members of the committee, my name's Claire Clock, and I truly come here today with two hats. I'm a retired farmer from Corbett, Oregon, who 30 years ago developed my own farm-to-school programs with the crop that I had and developed a small presentation to show those students exactly where the work that it took to get that to the table. And I'm also a partially retired conservation specialist from the Clackamas Soil and Water Conservation District. As a farmer and as a conservation district, we urge your strong support of HB 2038 and the Farm to School program, and request that you do all you can to maintain the level of funding. You know what the program is, you just heard it, but now I want to relate how it affects both the farmers and the children and their parents. It provides a connection between students and nature. It shows the joys and the difficulty of food production. In an age of growing childhood obesity, it teaches kids how to eat more healthy. It shows kids that vegetables can actually taste good. It teaches children that food comes from the farm and not necessarily from the store, which is really important. I think our farm groups are really in line with that, and we've been doing it for a number of years. It connects not only children but the parents to agriculture in the state and to food production, and some of those schoolyard farms go home to become yard farms, backyard farms. It also provides a local outlet for farmers that cut down transportation costs and keep the food dollar in the state. The Conservation District has supported the concept of farm to schools since it started, and more recently helped to establish rainwater catchment system for a schoolyard farm program at Candy Lane Elementary in Gladstone. And we will continue to support that type of activity. Thank you.
Any questions for these testifiers? Okay, thank you both for being here. And then Karina Lee and Rocky Dallum might as well come up as well.
Good morning, Co-Chair Smith Warner and Monroe and members of the committee. My name is Karina Lee. I am the executive director of the Salem Kaiser Education Foundation within just a short block or two away from here. As the community-based nonprofit partner with the second largest school district in the state, I will remind you that Salem-Keizer serves 44,000 children, of which 71% of them are on free and reduced lunch, making us the poorest school district in the state of Oregon. That means that we have food deserts, food insecurity, food anxiety among our children. One of the ways that we are able to address this is with Farm to School. You've heard about the program, but I'd like to say, excuse me, with the operation of our school gardens, we've been able to leverage, and with the support of Farm to School, leverage hundreds and hundreds of thousands of other dollars, resources, excuse me, and nearly 400 volunteers that help us engage our students with Farm to School. We are a very proud recipient of a Food Corps service members who have helped us advance this cause. We have grown hundreds and hundreds of pounds of food that is going back into the cafeterias in our schools. We are combating childhood obesity. You heard that. And we are also very much engaging families in their cooking classes and helping them realize that healthy eating can be affordable. That's about the education programs, but now let me tell you my real passion behind all of this. Oregon is an agricultural hub. We are home to the only food innovation center in the nation. Agribusiness and food innovation is a revolution in employability. If we cut farm to school, if we lose farm to school activities, we lose the best pathway we have to get our kids engaged in those CTE programs, career and technical education programs, that are about food innovation and about agriculture. It was our farm to school program that introduced our students to drones. Drones now being used by farmers to predict the moisture levels in their soils. If we lose farm to school, we lose this pathway, this gateway to food, to combating food insecurity, but also one of Oregon's leading and growing employability factors for us. So there is economic ties to this, there's health ties to this, there's engagement ties to this, and as you all battle, and I very, very, very much appreciate how you handle the budget process. I'm glad I'm not in your shoes right now. But please, please help us find the way to keep House Bill Farm to School.
Madam Co-Chair.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Well, the fact that Madam Co-Chair and I both strongly support this program is the reason it's on the docket today. You might want to check your statistics, though. I believe that David Douglas and Reynolds in my area are both close to 80% free and reduced.
Okay.
So I recognize that Salem-Keizer is one of the poorer school districts in the state, but there are others that really need this program as well.
Absolutely. It's needed throughout the entire state. And my resource was the Oregon School Boards Association last week.
You know, they've been known to make mistakes.
Yeah. I'll tell Jim that.
Any other question? Go ahead, Rocky.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Rocky Dahlem here on behalf of the Oregon Cattlemen's Association, and we don't find ourselves in the education subcommittee very often, but for background, the Cattlemen's Association represents almost 2,000 ranchers around the state, and as you probably know, Oregon's ag sector is the second largest traded sector in the state of Oregon. This is from the Department of Ag Statistics, our state produces around 220 different agricultural commodities, most of which would fall within the Farm to School program. I won't take up too much time because I think those before me have made a great case of why this is great for Oregon's kids, great for Oregon's farmers and ranchers, and great for Oregon's communities. But I will just leave with one thought is in a time when we hear otherwise, this program really is a great bridge between rural and urban Oregon and is a chance for kids to learn about what we do, how our food gets to our schools and our tables, and then also provides the nutritional and the economic benefits for school districts as well. So we appreciate you taking up this bill and the cattlemen's support. And I know that you'll see on the record that many of our other ag partners do as well. So thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay. Last testifier, Tammy Denny.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, my name is Tammy Denny. I am the legislative director for the Oregon Dairy Farmers Association. We had some interest in the base bill as far as some exclusionary language that will now be remedied with the Dash 11 amendment. The Dairy Farmers Association serves the 228 remaining dairies that are in the state. Every dairy, no matter their size, small to large, they're all ours. And we fiercely protect each and every one of them and work to represent their issues here in the Capitol building. So we don't find ourselves, again, as Rocky mentioned, here in front of you as a subcommittee on education very often, but we are enthusiastic about the farm to school program. Anytime we can speak favorably about feeding children a nutritious product that is milk-based, that it comes from any of our processors around the state, and you might be curious to know that there is a concentration of dairies right here in the Mid-Willamette Valley, about 20
24 in Marion County, and we don't really think about there being that kind of concentration of dairies in the mid-Willamette Valley because we think of them as being more rural areas throughout the state. But they are here. They are our neighbors. They are contributing to the economy and taking care of the environment, taking care of their animals. Our dairy industry is proud and number four in ranking in the state commodities. We're happy to be participant in this, in supporting the Dash 11 amendments to this House Bill 2830. So thank you so much. That's the wrong number, 2038. So I want to be sure that we are here to champion and speak favorably about the Dash 11 amendments. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay. Okay, so there are two amendments that both seem to say a very similar thing and a very contradictory thing, if I do. Perhaps I am just not reading them correctly, or perhaps I am.
Madam Chair, at the moment we don't have a recommendation on either of the two amendments. If the bill does get scheduled for a work session, the LFO materials will recommend one or the other or none or a new one. We'll see what has yet to come.
And my read of both of those amendments, and there must be some minor word change that I just didn't notice at glancing, was that there nothing shall be supplanted except if it is. That was the way I read those that amendment.
And rulemaking by the Department of Education is permitted in the A-10, and then criteria established by the State Board of Education by rule in the A-11.
Okay.
So, Madam Co-Chair?
Yes, Mr. Co-Chair.
So, LFO is not prepared yet to recommend either the 10 or 11 or both of them. Look forward to that recommendation because this is a program that I strongly support. I just want to get it right.
Senator Rowland.
Thank you. I was uptight with the original bill, only because it excluded a couple products that are very important to the state of Oregon and my district in particular, i.e. dairy and wheat. Wheat more other parts of the state than mine. And I'm pleased with it, and I would say to you that from my perspective, having heard testimony from a person that represents the dairy industry, the Dash 11 seem to be better to me than the 10s. But that's just my opinion.
Representative Parrish.
So I would support the Dash 11s if we get to make it. And largely because, I don't think any food we grow that is required by the National School Lunch Program, which offering milk is a requirement as a choice, should be excluded in our farm to school if we grow and make those products here in our state. So I think it's really important that we make sure that any product that is allowable on the school lunch under the school lunch program, USDA program, that we can produce here should not be excluded. So I appreciate where the Dash 11s are going. And I just really appreciate the work overall that people do. Years and years ago in my school lunch lady years, we were one of the early farm-to-school districts, buying even strawberries from a local high school kid who was in our district, and that was his college money, and we bought and froze those strawberries and used them in the following year. And then for a small period of time, worked for EcoTrust as their first farm-to-school coordinator. And so this bill, to me, is just critical that we get right, make sure that all Oregon commodity products that we grow here are included.
I want pears.
Thank you.
That was the dash.
That's one of the dashes.
Yeah.
No. Senator Thompson?
I just get a little nervous when we have the bill here and it's something we all would like to vote on, and now it's going to go back. I would rather just vote on it today and get this done.
Well, I'm sorry we are not scheduled for a work session right now. I would like to...
a little nervous.
Again, as part of the decision that literally I will need further explanation of a school district may not use monies to supplement or supplant, notwithstanding a school district may use monies to supplant. That is the amendment. So I'm gonna need some better explanation of that. And also, I'm not gonna wade into the milk battle. Okay, great. If there's no further testifiers, I will close the public hearing. And colleagues, we are scheduled to be meeting tomorrow morning at 8:30 once again. So if there's nothing else for the good of the order, I will call us adjourned. Thank you. Call us adjourned. Thank you.